Flip to your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 3. The book of Acts, chapter number 3. I'm going to be reading from some familiar scripture to Bible readers and those who's been in church for a while, heard it preached many a times. Or maybe it might be the first time you've heard it preached, but you just pray that God would fill me up and preach me today. And I'll say from the depths of my heart, you need to have the Savior. You need to have Jesus Christ in your life. He makes differences in your life. And no greater place to be in than to be in the palm of God's hand. And we was talking and had some this past week or Friday and Saturday had some young folks spent the weekend with us, spent the night with us, and it was good. And they were sitting there last night and they were singing. And there was one song that come upon my heart. Old Sterling Bolin used to sing, and started to get to me a little bit. And I sung it for them. And they said they never heard it, but it's one of the best things to know is that you've got a shepherd looking out for your soul. And the Bible likens us like sheep, and sheep's got to have a shepherd. Sheep don't know where to go, don't know where the good grass is, don't know where the good cool water is. And a sheep left by himself will wind up getting lost, getting in the thicket, or worse, getting snagged or caught by the enemy, by the wolf. But I'm glad that we have a shepherd, aren't you? I want to can I sing the first verse for you? Anyway, I feel pretty good this morning. You pray for me. The night was no different than all of the rest. We were all just hanging around. And I thought to myself, I'll just slip away to see what's happening downtown. So quickly I realized the street was all dark and I was lost, didn't know what to do. Afraid and alone, so far from home, and no hope for me was in view. When there stood my shepherd, he was smiling so sweet. He said, I've been searching for you up and down every street. Said, I've come to reclaim you, lead you back to the fold. Thank God for the shepherd watching out over my soul. Boy, I'm glad there's a shepherd, and his name's Jesus. Now, if you've had time, look up Acts chapter number 3. If you ain't got it now, better look off somebody next to you. You got Acts chapter number 3, if you would like, if you're willing, you don't have to, but if you would be willing to stand with us, we're going to reverence God's word and the reading of it, and we'll have a prayer, short prayer after that. Here in the book of Acts, chapter number 3, starting at verse number 1, says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Would you help me pray? Precious God, merciful Savior, Lord, we come to you, Lord, one more time, Lord, Father, this day. We ask you, God, to help us, Lord, at this time, at this hour. And we want to say thank you for your Bible. Thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have today. And Father, we pray that we, Lord, will be a willing and pliable vessel in your hands. We ask you for the fresh oil. We ask you, Lord, Father, whereby it comes only from you, that anointing that comes from up on high. Lord God, I pray that our hearts would be open, our hearts would be willing. Lord, Father, that our minds be set and focused upon what you have to say. Lord, don't let me be laborious. Don't let me, Lord, Father, tarry off and on randomness nor babbling. But Lord God, keep me centered upon your message. Lord, keep me centered upon your thoughts. And Lord, may I stay in there no matter if it's how long it is, 5 or 50 minutes. God, that you just preach me, Lord, Father. And then when you're done with me, Lord, that I know and follow the Spirit and be done. But God, most of all, Lord, that we would know the Spirit when it deals with our heart, for us to move towards you, come to you, come to these altars and be changed, Lord Father. We love you and we thank you, Lord God. And above all things, no matter what we do or say, Lord Father, that happens, that you would get glory and honor and praise unto you and your high and holy name. It's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. Here in Acts chapter number 3 is familiar scripture for most Bible readers and most preachers. No doubt this has been preached upon throughout the centuries, who knows how many times. And here in Acts chapter number 3 is we are picking up and following on after what had just happened in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter number 1. Here it's not too long after the Lord had already appeared unto the disciples and he went away upon a cloud. And he told them disciples to tarry and wait for him in Jerusalem in the upper room, and it would be endued with power upon high. And the Bible says that God preached a wonderful message through Peter. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and there was power throughout all that upper room. And there was many of men, devout men, Jewish men from many nations that was there, Brother Jeff. And they heard the gospel preached in their time. And they got to hear the gospel be preached, and it changed lives. Can I say that it changed 3,000 souls that day? They were saved and added unto the church. There was many of them that were non-believers. There was them that scoffed or maybe thought that there was something wrong or something had been going on at one place. Somebody accused them of being drunk. But Peter said, no, they're not drunk upon wine, seeing it's about the third hour of the day. But what had happened was the power of God had filled them up. And when the power fills up his church, there's lives that can be changed. Can I say this today? Though those men might have been religious, and though those men might have known some things in their life and in their days, but when God shows up on the scene and confronts everybody, or confronts you, or confronts me, all of my knowledge just seems to go by the wayside, and all of my thinking seems to fade and pale in comparison. But I'm glad God, who is so mighty and so strong, and he is so omnipresent, he's always present, he's always knowing, and he's always powerful. I'm glad when he shows up, I don't have to worry about anything else. I'm glad when I'm in the presence of God, I know everything's going to be all right. Here in the Bible, we continue on as we, before we get to the third chapter, this is where the disciples had decided to carry on. And all those people that were saved, the church, began to march together and to dwell together and to be together. And they continued in the doctrine and in the apostles' words. And they continued on here in this third chapter. Peter and John, they were walking together and they were going to go pray. And I want you to notice at this place that they're all meeting out to go pray, there is a man who's been lame from his birth. This man has been lame. This man couldn't carry himself. This man had to be carried and placed at the gate of Beautiful. He's at the place, and he was placed there to ask of alms. And if there's anything that God had placed upon my heart today to ask, is as this man stayed outside of that gate, I wonder what's keeping you outside also today. He stayed outside of the temple. He stayed outside of going in. And there was many of things that happened maybe in this man's life that we're going to get to, or maybe some things that was transpiring in his life that was keeping him from going inside. It was keeping him from coming inside that gate. I wonder today if there's anything that's keeping you on the outside.
I wonder if there's anything in your life or there's some things that has transpired or some things that's taken hold of your life that's keeping you on the outside. I remember one time, it was a couple years ago, and we had a great big old bonfire at the house. And we had a whole lot of people, and my whole yard was filled with cars, and we was having fellowship and just invited a bunch of people, and we was eating and having a good time. We was playing music and we was eating. We was fellowshipping and we was eating, and we was walking around shaking hands and we was eating. Man, just love that eating. And we was having us a good time, and it got real cold, and we had like trailer loads and trailer loads of wood. And I left a couple people under the control, over the fire. I guess it was kind of a bad mistake. I think if they could have saw the flames from Cincinnati, that bonfire had gotten so high, and we're thankful that the fire department knew we was having it. But as it started to die down a little bit, and the night began to creep on, and people wanted to die down and just sing and fellowship, we started to get around the fire. And the people that was closest to the fire, they're the ones that was staying real warm. And the people that was like three rows back, they was complaining how cold they were. And they kept putting on layer upon layer of things that they had within their car to keep themselves warm. But still yet, they was not getting any warmer. And I looked at them and I said, "What's wrong?" And they said, "You don't understand. We're sitting behind all these people, and it's keeping us from feeling the warmth of that fire." And I said, "They said that's why we got all these blankets on us." I said, "You know, if it was me, what I would do?" They said, "What?" I said, "I would pick up my chair and make my way through the crowd and get closer to the fire." Somebody say amen right there. Because we got many a people today, many a folks in the world that's got their own things, and they're trying to keep themselves warm or keep them things religious or keep them things close to God in their own mind, the things that they're using, they think is right. But can I tell you, it'll never ever get you inside in the good graces or in the heat of God. You're going to have to get up, and you're going to have to get in, and you're going to have to want to get in. And it just might be you might need some help, but I know somebody who can help you today, and he'll help you today if you want the help. I wonder today what's keeping you on the outside. I wonder what has caused the distance or the separation and close of the not being as close as you once were or maybe never have been. Can I say this today? It not only goes for the lost people, but it goes for the saved people too. There'll come times in people's lives where it seems like the distance between them and the Lord seems like it's greater than it once was. I've heard people say this many a times, and they say, "Preacher, I remember when I first got saved, I felt so close to God. I felt so strong with the Lord. I felt so on fire for God right after I got saved. I wonder what happened. I wonder why it's not as hot as it used to be." Well, friend, there's only two things that can happen. Either A, you've moved away from the fire, or B, you haven't pitched no wood on. And you need to do that if you're going to keep warming that with God. I feel pretty good this morning. I don't know anybody else. I want to get to what this man, the reason why maybe he couldn't get in. If you'll realize this, he had a problem with his walk. He had a problem with the way that he was walking. He was lame from his mother's womb. This man didn't have the right type of walk, or he couldn't walk in the right way. And can I say this? There's something that has to do when it has to be walking in the right way. Right. I'm reminded of what Brother Bobby said when he stood up and gave that testimony about that boy. He had something wrong with his walk. And the doctor said there were things they could and could not do. But when they brought that boy to God, there were things that God can do, and God made a way. And there is a way that this man could have made, but his walk wasn't right. Maybe it's because his walk wasn't right. He couldn't get all the way in. Notice somebody else carried him. Somebody carried him to where he was at. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you don't realize this or not, but the reason why you haven't got in is because there's some people who's carried you as far as they can carry you. They've carried you in prayer. They've carried you in supplication. They've carried you to the church, and they've asked the church to pray for you. But there's no way you're going to get in unless you're willing to get up and grab a hold of the hand of the Lord and get in. Can I say this today? Not only did he have a problem with his role, maybe he had a problem with the atmosphere or had a problem with the environment that was around him. Notice this, all the people that passed by, all the people that kept walking right in, maybe it was the folks in his life when he wasn't at the gate of beautiful. It's easy to look around the circumstances and the surroundings that you have in your life and say, "Well, this is just how it's going to be. It's never going to change. You know, things has just always been this way. I've hoped for something different. I've hoped for a different outcome, and it's never come. And maybe this is how it's always going to be. I've heard people say, "You don't make your the environment don't make your situation, but you make your own situation." God, beg to differ, friend. There's been many a people who's held grudges. There's many a people who's held a different way of thinking because of the atmosphere and the things that's happened in their life. Can I say this today? A lot of times, people, since they don't get all the way in, they form their own opinion about how things are because of the atmosphere that they're in. Maybe because they've seen the church people that was going to pray. Somebody never gave them a coin. Maybe they saw the same face over and over and over again. He never put nothing into his cup. Nobody ever helped him out in his situation. And so he's looking at his environment saying, it ain't no good at home. It ain't getting no better here at the Gate of Beautiful. Ain't nothing really beautiful in my life. This is just as best as it's going to be. So here I am shaking my cup, hoping somebody would put something in. There's many of us in our life. Can I say this? And don't get mad at me now. I'm just giving you as God's given me. Can I say this today? Many a time people will say, well, you know, God hasn't done this for me and God hasn't done that for me. I've looked for this and I've looked for that. But the one thing you have not done was give God what He actually wants. Amen. And the one thing He wants the most, and He wants you. Have you ever thought about just surrendering and giving up and just quitting, saying, I've done all I can do and I can't do no more. Now, God, here's my whole life. Can you make something out of it? Some people say, well, preacher, I've asked God for this and I've asked God for that and I ain't seen it. Well, maybe the reason why God ain't gave it to you is because you're asking Him for the reason that you could consume it so you could have your own pleasure in it. But what God wants to do is first save your soul and then make you happy and let you know that He's with you all these days of this world. He says here, maybe it's not the environment or the situation. Maybe he's got a problem with his expectations. Maybe he does not expect anything to change because of the environment. Maybe he's not expecting anything to change because he's walked that way or hasn't been able to walk for all these years. He says, well, since I ain't never walked, I ain't never going to walk. And since nobody's ever helped me out beyond dropping a quarter in my cup, it ain't never going to be. So he doesn't expect nothing. Can I say something this morning? Hope it doesn't sound arrogant or bold, but we should expect to get something from God. Y'all hearing that? Too many times people say, well, I don't know if God's going to do it or not. Well, there's plenty of places in God's Word where He promised He'll do some things. Amen. I believe. What's that song? I mean, I hope it's not a lie that we sing, standing on the promises of God. The Bible says that God had promised us that He would give us all that our needs. He would take care of all of our needs. If we seek Him first in the kingdom of His righteousness, He'll supply all of our needs. He said, don't look to see what tomorrow is because tomorrow will take care of itself. He said, don't look to see where your clothes are coming from because I clothe the ground. He said, don't look where your food's coming from because I feed the birds and they have no idea where it's coming from. But so many times in life we'll say, I don't think God's going to do anything because I don't expect nothing out of God. I got to do everything on my own. Well, that's your problem. You'll never get in on your own. You need help. You need somebody with you who said He'll go with you all the ways, even to the end of the world, and His name is Jesus. That's who you need. So many times people say, well, if I build up my expectations, I might be let down. Well, if your expectation is in the preacher, you'll probably get let down. If your expectation's in the deacon, you just might get let down. If your expectation's in the youth leader, you might get let down. But I've read that Bible from cover to cover more than once, and I've come across many and many of saints, and Jesus' expectations, He's never let us down. He's far surpassed than what I thought it would be. It's always been better, and the half has still yet been told. It's going to get better and better and better. Too many times our expectations of life. Well, you know, I've messed things up. Haven't we all? Preacher, I've sinned. Haven't we all? Preacher, you don't know my sins. You don't know mine. Preacher, I've got a bad past. So do I. Preacher, it haunts me. It haunts me too. Preacher, I can't get away from it. I can't get away from it either. But my God tells me, He promised me one day after a while, this mind and this flesh will drop off, and I'm going to a country where He's at. And He says, I choose to remember your sins no more. I'm glad one day after a while, when the devil and the flesh reminds me of my sins, I just let Him know where He's a-going, and I remind myself where I'm a-going. Bless God. We should have some expectation. Young or old, we got expectations we should have in God. For him, he thought he was at the right place. Because that's where his life was. He was comfortable. He thought it was a place where he was easy at. He was a place where he didn't have to worry about getting pushed out of a comfort zone. It was a regular place for him. And it was a rational place for him. Can I say this? Just because it may feel right doesn't mean that it is right. Somebody say amen.
Yeah, that's right.
If I had a dime for everybody that says, well, it feels right to me, preacher, so it must be right. God help us. Now, you can go out and tell your pastor said this. There's a reason why a lot of people stay in sin, Sister Tony, or Brother Tony's, because folks get pleasure in sin.
Right.
And the reason why they like that pleasure in sin, because it feels good. Don't you all look at me that way,
please?
But can I tell you something? Someday after a while, and it's usually shortly, it's never longly, sin's pleasure and sin's enjoyment fades away. Somebody say amen right there. That's why you have the drug epidemic that we have. They get the hit of that first drug. I've talked to enough heroin addicts, and they've told me the same thing over and over again. They said that first high you get when you run that needle into your vein, it says it changes their life, and for the rest of their days that they're addicted to it, and even they said after they've been off of it for years, it still creeps back up on them. They're constantly chasing that high that they got the first time, but it never, ever, ever comes back. Can I tell you something about salvation? It was so good on the day that I got saved. It was so great on the day that I got saved. I felt light as a feather. I feel like I leap tall buildings in a single bound. I feel like I could rip open my shirt and have a big old S on the inside and be Superman. But can I tell you, this is one thing about salvation. It gets better as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets more powerful as the days go by. Preacher, did you ever have some down moments? Yes, I do. But thank God he comes by my way and lets me know that it's going to get better and better and better for them that are saved. He was at ease. He didn't like being pushed out of his comfort zone. He was in the place because it was regular. It was his routine. And it was a place where he got the rations. He rationed it out in his mind that he was getting the rations from the people, so he thought that's the best it's going to get. Can I say this today to save folk? You hear it's part of this church. You hear it's maybe visiting. Can I say this? A lot of times we get no closer to God because we've made church our regular place. It's the right place because we're comfortable. Sometimes you get mad at the preacher because he says some things that provokes you and pushes you. Don't get mad at me now, but it's true. You get mad. And it's not me, it's him. And it's a ration place. Because you just come for a crumb. And you just crumb for a ration. Don't get me wrong. There is sometimes where a crumb will satisfy you, will satisfy you. But God did not give us crumbs. A lot of times we take that scripture where the woman came to Jesus and said, Jesus, heal my daughter. And he said, my daughter didn't answer a word because she's a Gentile and they was the Jews. And he said, I don't give the bread that belongs to the Jews unto the dogs. That's what they call the Gentiles. And she said, true, Lord. But the dogs do get the crumbs. And she said, yes, Lord. And he gave her and healed her daughter. But can I tell you this? Once you've been saved, you don't have to live off crumbs. Don't get me wrong. There's been times we've had a scrape. There's been times when at our house we've had to go to the grocery store and bologna was for 99 cents and we stocked up the grocery cart on bologna. Somebody say amen for bologna. Felt something on that bologna cart right there. And we'd get the bread and the mayonnaise and the tomatoes out and you could sit down there at the dining room table and ask God to bless it. And it'd be the best meal you've ever gotten. But God said, Jason, you're not living off rations and you're not living off the scraps. I got to thinking about my granny. I never forget. We'd get done eating breakfast and she'd take the biscuits and the gravy and the sausage and the eggs and everything that was left over and she'd scrape it in the pie pan. I'd say, Granny, what are you doing? She said, I'm going to go out there and give the scraps unto them dogs and unto them cats. And I was sitting there thinking about this morning, how so many times people will come and all they're looking for is just a scrap. If I can just get a crumb from God, if I can just get a scrap from God, when God's got the table spread for you, you don't have to wait down and eat from a pie pan. He's got a place at the table. He's got a place reserved for you if you'll come and get it today. So many times we sit outside the gate and we stay right there and don't get all the way in. And can I ask this today? Why don't you go in? All these things that you could probably say addressed to that man. But can I wonder today, can I say this today and ask you this? I wonder if you are like that man because of what people have said about you. Are you that way because of things that's happened in your life as church? I'd say if we was to take a poll in here, most people would probably raise their hand, if not maybe 100% of people that's saved and been in church for a while, they could raise their hand and say, somebody in church hurt me. Ain't that right? Can I say this? I ain't trying to be mean, but friend, it'll always be that way as long as we're in this world. But can I say this today? That even though them people may have hurt you, them people may have offended you, can I say this? God never offended you.
Amen.
And God has always been there with you. I'll never forget. I won't mention no names, but I'll never forget. We went to this one place, went to this one restaurant, and some people that I was with, and they was upset because the order got wrong. And them and the owner or the cook, whoever it was, they got this great big old argument. They was going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And finally the customer got upset and left and said, I've never been offended in all my life. I've never been so upset in all my life. They've got my food wrong. They've treated me wrong. They've disrespected me. And not even the next week goes by, guess who's walking out of that same restaurant with a bag full of food. I mean, I've seen people go to Walmart, get upset because they didn't get the sale price that they wanted to get, but still yet they'll go back to Walmart. I've seen people go to Kroger's, and Kroger's not honor their coupons. They get upset and get mad, say some things under their breath. Don't you all look at me that way, and you'll still go back to Kroger's. But if you come to the house of God and something gets said that ruffles your feathers, you take your ball and you go home. You don't want to come back and say, I've been offended, I've been upset, and you stay away. Y'all know it's right. But God never offended you. And I've always told you all, if I offended you, please pull me aside. If I offend you, I want to make it right. From the depths of my heart, I want to make it right. But if God offends you, I can't help that. But we can get together and lock arms and pray for each other. But maybe you're standing outside because you won't get all in because maybe somebody's hurt you. Can I say, when it comes down to it, it don't matter what they've done. What matters is to walk between you and Him. I wonder today, is the reason why you ain't getting in is because you've been so long in the pen, so long in anger and so long upset that you've looked and said, it's always been this way. What's the sense in committing myself and getting all the way in just to have myself let down or my heart to get broke one more time? I've often thought about this. I've heard people say, yeah, I used to work in the church. I used to do things in church. But I've been hurt and I've been offended. Had somebody tell me one time, they said, preacher, I got hurt. I got offended because, you know, I tried to do something for God and people didn't appreciate it. So I just quit doing it. I was over at the gym ministry on Thursday. And there's some people in this church that was with us this weekend. This weekend that I gave them back. We was talking about how folks have been offended in church and got hurt. And I've told you this before. I was down in Stinking Creek at that Baptist church. And I think that man was about 6'8". And I think he's about 350 pounds. And I'm standing up here in the pulpit. And he's standing back here by the door. And he's accustomed me a blue streak and threatened to stomp me in the parking lot as soon as church was over. I was offended. It bothered me that somebody wanted to physically lay hands on me in the house of God. Somebody wanted to beat me up. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? But did I quit? No. Did I give up? No, I didn't give up. I put it in the hands of God. Now, don't get me wrong. There was somebody who was bigger than him, who was back at the other side of him that kept me safe. And I walked through, somebody say, bless God for the provision. Yeah, man. But can I tell you this? There's many times I've been in church. There's been people that says, I don't like the way you sing the song. I don't like the way you preach. I don't like the way you teach. I don't like the way you dress. I don't like the way you act. I don't like your demeanor. You never shake my hand. You never hug me. You never say hello. You won't praise God, or you praise God too loudly. There's always something. There's always something. But it should never keep you out of the church. It should never keep you away from God. It should never keep you from where the blessings come from. I want to be at the spout where the glory runs out, because I know God is always in control. And so many times people say, I'm not. I'm not. And so many times they stay away because maybe they've been offended. Or maybe they stay away because of their past. Maybe they stay away because of their past. Can I say this? We all have a past. We all have one. You can't get away from your past. You can't. It's always going to remind you what you did wrong. Y'all hearing the preacher? If I said I had a dime for every time somebody tell me this, if I had a dime every time my past and my flesh reminded me of the awful things that I did, I'd be a rich man. Sometimes I can't escape them. Sometimes they consume my mind. But that's why I like the youth group singing that song, "But It's Under the Blood." Yes, oh, praise His dear name. I'm not what I used to be. Yes. I'm no longer the same. My life's been changed. I'm not shackled no more. I'm glad Scott's drunk. It's just ghosts that haunt me. I'm glad I don't have to worry about the sheriff's department. We're looking for Jason Faulkner. I don't know if anybody's ever had that feeling in their gut before when you hear that knock at the door and you say, "Who is it?" And they say, "It's the police department. We're looking for so-and-so." And you're so-and-so.
Bless the Lord, bless you.
And some people might say, "What do you mean? It's a sinking feeling. You've been caught. They ain't there to ask for a donation." And what they want to do, you have to pay. Or when you lay up at night or you have dreams and you wake up and you get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. Because that old thing comes back, that old memory haunts you. And you ask God to forgive you over and over and over and over again. And the whole time, James, He's reminding you, "I've already forgave you. I've already forgiven you." I've had people tell me, they say the reason why they can't go to church because their sinful past and the sin that was in their life, they said the roof will cave in or the walls will cave in. I'm telling you, friend, the church is not built upon walls and a ceiling. It's built upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. You can't go dark enough, deep enough, that the blood of Christ can't get below and wash you white as snow. Now, I've had people tell me, say, "Preacher, you don't know." And maybe I don't. But God does.
Yes, He does.
And I'm reminded upon Calvary in that same scripture. Maybe we'll get to it tonight in part two. I don't know. But Peter tells them that they need to get to Christ and have their sins blotted out. I'm glad there's no longer a record of my sin. I'm glad it's all gone. Now, some of you might be saying, "Well, preacher, I didn't have a painful past." Well, I'm not just talking about lost past. Now, I hope we ain't got none of them people that think they're perfect here since they've been saved. We've all sinned since we've been saved. And sometimes those sins haunt just as much as the other ones do. But can I tell you that it's the same remedy for them sins as it was the others? Christ is the remedy. He is the cure. Notice this man is sitting lame. Maybe he could have blamed it on his mom or his dad. And said, "You didn't raise me upright." You know, that's a lot of people doing today. Maybe they went to church and they saw mom and dad at church one way, and they went back home and saw mom and dad a different way. Maybe that's why he wouldn't get all the way in. Maybe you've seen the hypocrites. Maybe you've seen folks that say they know God, but by their actions they deny Him. I used to have an old elder brother, old Garrett Dalton, loved him with all my heart. And somebody come up to him one time. He asked him to come to church. He said, "Why don't I want to go to church with all them hypocrites?" And he said, "One more ain't going to hurt. Why don't you come on and join up with us?" And he'd look at him and get mad. But can I tell you, is it better to go to church with hypocrites and stay away? Is it better to go to church with hypocrites and get saved and give your life to God? Or is it better to stay outside the church, stay away from God and die and go to hell with all the hypocrites? I've often heard people tell me, they say, "Preacher, all them people in that church ain't going to heaven." And I said, "You're probably right. But can I tell you, I know of one that's a going, and that's me." I can honestly say I'm not perfect, but I can honestly say I'm forgiven. I can honestly say I've never done everything right, but I'm glad He is always right. I have paid for sins. I had to deal with the things that I've done wrong. And yes, I've been hurt. Yes, I've been offended, but I'm glad He's always been there holding my hand in the dark times, in the bad times, in the good times, the happy times. God has always been there. So many times we get the preconceived notions in our mind and we try to blame it on something else, blame it on somebody else. But when it comes down to it, when the rubber meets the road, it's you and God. It's you and God. God's not wanting to kill you, friend. He's wanting to save your soul and bring you close to Him. That's what it is. Now this man's laying at the gate and he's laying outside. And he's just asking for a scrap and asking for a crumb. I wonder how many people would rather have more than just a scrap and a crumb. I wonder if they came to him, Jeff, and they asked him, Peter and John asked him, said, hey, how would you like it if we just took care of you and paid all your bills for the rest of your life? He probably took it. But they said, silver and gold have none. They didn't have the money, but they did have something that he needed. They said, Peter said, look on us. Focus on us. Look on us. He had something to say. Thank God there was somebody there I could look at, Brother James, and they had something to say. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he grabbed him by the right hand. And he went to leaping and a praising and a shouting and praising God because of what happened in his life. His ankle bones got strength. His legs got strong. He was able to stand up. He was able to leap, jump, and shout. And I've heard some people say this. They say, preacher, I never understood why you get so excited. I just don't see all the excitement of what's going on. And they probably thought the same thing about that man. But think about this. He has spent 40 years crippled, 40 years lame, 40 years couldn't move. And as soon as he got strength, he didn't have to learn how to walk. He didn't have to go through physical therapy. God was there and did everything for him that he needed. And he went inside leaping and praising God. And the people saw it. The people noticed it. He did it in public. Now somebody was probably sitting there saying, you know, if that was me, I wouldn't have acted that way. So if it was a Baptist church, I know there would have been people sitting there saying, I wouldn't have acted that way. But you hadn't been lame for 40 years. You hadn't been crippled for 40 years. All this man knew was about this level. Some people say, preacher, why do you get so excited for? If you knew what God forgave me from. Amen. I don't know how you can't get excited. Amen. Knowing that you've been forgiven. Yeah. I don't know how you can't praise God. Forever, I never was athletic enough. My family wasn't in the in crowd enough. They wasn't clicky enough. They wasn't in the clique of the neighborhood or the community. We was hillbillies, if you'll have it. That's some people from Kentucky. Got made fun of. Well, I'm glad it's not based upon my heritage. I'm glad it's not based upon my name. I'm glad it's not based upon my past, but it's based upon what he did upon the Calvary. I wonder what's keeping you out today. There's some folks in here, and I want to say this, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just giving you, I had no idea. God woke me at 5 o'clock this morning, got the fire going. I sat there and dozed back off next to the stove, woke back up and said, Lord, you haven't done this in a long time. In the last 3 services, he never gets me a time to study and pray and give me days upon. He lets me sweat it out. So don't think I've talked to anybody. Don't think I've conjured up any kind of. Don't think I've been looking at anybody's Facebooks. I'm giving you exactly what God's sending right through me. Amen. And he's wanting to know today, why are you on the outside? Why are you on the outside? Somebody's not letting me in. Well, it can't be me. It can't be nobody else because only one person has the key to the door. Jesus says, I am the door. But I wonder what's keeping you out. I wonder what's keeping you away. Friends, you're here, you're lost. You ain't saved. You've never been born again. You don't know what it's like. Can I say salvation is not just repeating a prayer or reading scripture or just saying I'm saved. And though those things might be important, but like that man who was changed, his life was changed, totally different from the moment before. He couldn't walk right. He couldn't even walk at all. And God changed his life. He went into the church. He didn't say, oh, wow, I've got my strength back and run home and say, let's party. He ran into the house of God and praised God and stuck with the preachers and stuck with the men that helped him. He could have got mad and said, you didn't put nothing in my cup. You didn't give me no money. You didn't help me out my almsgiving. But he gave them something so much the better. Maybe you've come today and you said, well, I ain't expecting much. Maybe you just came today because somebody's asked you to come. Maybe you've come today because it's out of routine. Maybe you come today because you don't have no expectations and this is just the easy place. Can I tell you this? If you'll come to God and seek Him with your whole heart, I ain't saying you will, but you might be like that lame man. You might have something get a hold of you. It's never got a hold of you before. And you might leap and praise God on the way out.